perfect. Bang on my chest if you think I'm perfect.
Go ahead, bang on it.
No heart?
You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
This is Patchwork Heart Ministries' Young Catholics Respond, brought to you by Breadbox Media. Now, here's your host, Bill Snyder.
Thanks, Adam, and welcome to the program, everybody. This is Young Catholics Respond. I am Bill Snyder, and it is a pleasure to have you joining us no matter where you are listening from. I want to give a big shout-out to our listeners on Light of Life Radio Network in West Virginia. I also want to give a shout-out to future listeners. If you're listening to this podcast in Ohio and you are in the area of Cleveland, Akron, or Youngstown, we are very, very excited to be bringing you Young Catholics Respond over the air on the Bread of Life Radio Network, which will be, Living Bread Radio Network, which will be broadcasting starting in September. So that's three more stations. And if you own or like a Catholic radio station and think our program would be a great fit on that radio station, please do not hesitate to email us and let us know at info@patchworkheart.org so we can get this message further out over the air. On today's program, I am blessed to be joined by Ralph Modica, and he is the co-founder of Good News Ministries, and he also works in a very dangerous territory, the world. He has spent a career working in the computer industry, which is not always the most receptive to Christian values, and today we're going to talk about with him workplace and faith, so how to bring your faith into the workplace, and some of those scenarios and things we encounter when we try to live our faith in that secular environment. So, Ralph, welcome to the program, and thank you so much for joining me here today on Young Catholics Respond.
Thank you for having me, Bill. It's a pleasure talking with you.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Your show, so I'll let you orchestrate and go forward.
Hey, thank you. Ralph, I just want to ask you that question. You know, to begin, how do we take our faith and bring it into the world? You've spent a lifetime doing that, so how do we take it into the workplace?
The major thing that I would like to say, Bill, is like Jesus said, he came to serve, not to be served. And I think a lot of times when we're in a work situation, we're called to serve, not to sit there and puff up our own feathers or try to draw attention or importance to ourselves, but to see how we can take care of the needs of others, giving them comfort, giving them material support, intellectual support, whatever it is they need. We're called to serve others. And Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. I haven't had to wash anyone's feet lately, but sometimes close to that. So that's the main thing I would say people to keep in mind and serve others.
Yeah, that's a really great point. Going into a workplace, it can be a competitive place, right, Ralph? I mean, workplaces are competitive, and we're always fighting for promotions or to make more money to feed our families. And when you look at that, that's kind of contrary to what you're saying, right? It's kind of like be of service first and not all about yourself and getting promoted and moving up the ranks. Is that kind of what you're saying there?
Yes, that's definitely true. And it's particularly true if you're a manager. And we've all had bosses. Sometimes we've had good bosses, and a lot of us have our horror stories about bosses. Unfortunately, a lot of bosses I worked with, they were looking what I could do to make them look better so they could get promoted. I've had three bosses in my 45 years of working that I consider very good, and they all had one very good trait in common. They would sit there and say, tell me what you need to do your job better, and it was in their power to get it for me, they would. Those people had my and a number of other people's undying loyalty because they were there to serve us, not to lord it over us, not to sit there and say, make me look better so I can get promoted. So if you're a manager, serve your people. They will be loyal to you, and they will get the job done.
Really, really great point. And, I want to maybe ask you about some of the experiences you've had, some of the particular stories that maybe come to mind when it comes to treating the others with respect. I mean, what are some of the stories? What are some of the difficult situations even that you were placed in?
Let's see. You've all heard about being in the lion's den. There's many times I dealt with a lot of Fortune 10 companies, and you're in front of CEOs and high-level managers that would eat you alive, and they wonder, what are you going to do about this situation? And, of course, my own managers would sit there and say, well, you know, don't say anything bad about the company. And I would sit there and say, hey, here's the problem. Here's the way I see it. You may not like hearing that, but here's what we're going to do about it. And sometimes people have to sit there and reel a little bit back in shock before they realize, okay, here's someone that's actually going to help us solve the problem instead of sitting there and keep hashing it back and forth. So in those situations, I know a lot of people have been inside terrifying situations. They're not sure what to say. And I always find comfort in Jesus' word. He says, hey, you're going to be dragged before the Sanhedrin and councils and judges. Don't worry about what you're going to do or say. You'll be given the words to say. And I tell people, you're going to be brought in front of CEOs of companies, high-level managers, people that want to eat you alive. Don't worry about what you're going to do or say. Be calm. Be confident that God is going to give you the words to say and know what to do. People will be shocked about it, but then they'll sit there and realize, hey, yeah, this is the right thing to do, and go forward from there.
Yeah, exactly. I think there's a level, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. I think there's a level when you're talking about that of God created you with these gifts and talents. He made you for a purpose, and if you're given this specific skill set in this job, no matter what situation you find yourself in, trust that God gave you that for a purpose and for a reason, and therefore He's going to empower you to help others and to conquer whatever situation or whatever CEO is grilling you with questions, right?
Yes. Yeah. We had another situation where the management of the company we're working for, very, very strong-willed, very, very opinionated. They said, we want to do XYZ. And our managers were basically shaking in their boots. I'm like, well, that's really not a good idea. You know, they're paying us for our technical expertise. And if we don't sit there and tell them, no, this is a bad idea, here's why it's a bad idea, we need to do it this way, they may not like that, but you got to ask them, do you really want to face the consequences of doing it the way they insist upon? And the manager's kind of like looked at me and said, we'd be remiss in our duty if we don't sit there and express, this is the right thing to do, what you're advocating is the wrong thing to do. So, of course, if we go ahead and cater to their demands, and then things blow up in our faces, they're going to sit there and say, why did you let us do that? Whereas now we say, hey, this is the way it should go. Here's how what the risks are. Here's what the benefits are. And, you know, the managers took a little bit of time. Okay, well, go and tell them this is the way to do things, not the way that they plan to do it. So sometimes you got to sit there and give people courage to sit there and tell them, hey, you need to go up against the lion and tell them, here's how to do things.
Yeah, and you know, I think in today's workplace, always, you know, want to figure out a way to do things, you know, faster and better. I mean, especially when you're talking about computer work and computer science, right? Everything is, you know, at the speed of light, and so everyone wants to be one step ahead and have the next thing, but that always isn't necessarily the best approach. And I liked one of the things you said there is courage, to be able to say, hey, you know what? No, I trust my ability. I also trust, you know, the right path here. And it's okay to tell somebody that you don't think that's the right approach that, you know, that to take for their company or for their mission. And, accomplishing that does take a lot of courage. Have you found when you're empowering other managers and other people of other businesses that they're resistant to that at first and then eventually warm up to it? Or how does that initial conversation
go? At first, people are resistant because they're afraid. I mean, sometimes people are afraid of their jobs. I mean, I was in one scenario that the company was changing its whole method of service delivery. They brought all of our support engineers up to a meeting, set us all down, said, oh, here's a new plan. And everyone was afraid they were going to lay it off if they didn't agree to the plan. So managers go around the table asking people, what do you think? What do you think? Oh, great idea, great idea, great idea. He got to me, and everyone kind of looks at me because everyone knows Ralph will say what is on his mind and and what he believes is true and right. So I said, Ralph, what do you think about this? I said, well, I said, we've had a bunch of half-baked ideas in the past. I said, this one we didn't even put in the oven. The manager's jaw kind of dropped on the floor. Everyone was like kind of sighing. We took a break at that moment, and people were in the hallway saying, hey, Ralph, it was nice working with you. I said, hey, I didn't say anything in that room. That was not on everyone's mind, but they were afraid to say it. I said, don't be afraid to speak up.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
So, yeah, it definitely goes back to that courage aspect and encouraging people. Hey, you know, if they're going to fire, okay, you'll find someplace else. I mean, are you really going to sit there and enjoy working for a company that will keep oppressing you and keep putting you in bad situations? Unfortunately, some people do. And, you know, if you do speak up, it's not going to be easy. You're going to have a lot of people not liking you. But then again, there were people in Jesus' time, they didn't like him. So I figure I'm in good company.
Yes, you certainly are. I want to ask you just a little bit about, you know, that is totally fearless, because you hear a lot of young people out there, you know, I've got to keep this job. I you know, this job is feeding a family, this job. But there's another level of trust too, right? And you shouldn't just go through and life and be unhappy in that job and be oppressed and be, right? I mean, that's not what God is calling you to. And if you're finding
that's
that you're
not what it called to, right? I know early on in my career, I mean, I had a very stressful job. The computer industry is very stressful. And I was looking, how do I get out of this job? How do I get out of this job? And there were layoffs. Like, we had layoffs of the quarter, layoffs of the month, layoffs of the week. And then it got to the point, if you can log into your terminal on a given day, you still had a job. It got that bad. I got moved from one office to another office to a smaller office to a smaller office to a hallway in office. And finally, I got moved into my house. And I was sitting there telling God, hey, I've been asking you for help. And now I'm working out of my house in the basement. What do you have to say about that, God? And God told me, he says, Ralph, you've been complaining, you wanted to travel, you want to go someplace. He says, I've given you a situation that you can work anywhere. I'm bigger than any company I work for, bigger than any country you'll ever be in. He says, I'm bigger than any problem you'll ever have, and I will take care of you wherever I send you. And I went like, oh.
Yeah, so that's a big sign, right? That's a big sign for you. And so that's, you know, that's amazing. Ralph, I'm enjoying the conversation so much, but time flies when we're having fun. And it's almost time that I take that first break in the program, our only break in the program, okay. And we'll come back and we'll talk with you more. I want to talk with you a little bit about how to keep Christian values in the workplace, too, because I think that's, you know, a very important thing, not just how to keep your job, but also how to keep your Christian values and also evangelize in the workplace, because that's a thing we're called to, too. So we're going to come back and continue the conversation with Ralph Modica here on Young Catholics Respond. I'm Bill Snyder. Don't change that dial. Right back after this.
Faith comes from what is heard. And what is heard comes by the preaching of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard?
Do you seek to make Scripture a greater part of your daily faith journey? Would you like it readily available on your smartphone or tablet? The Truth and Life Bible app delivers to your mobile device the complete Catholic edition of the Revised Standard Version of the Bible with a concordance entirely free. You will also enjoy free content from Father Robert Barron's Word on Fire, Father Jim McElhone's Word Made Clear, Jeff Caven's The Great Bible Adventure, and the Catholic News Agency. In addition, you can hear the Gospel of Mark dramatically proclaimed by world-renowned actors and actresses like Blair Underwood, Neil McDonough, Kristen Bell, and many more. The full audio dramatization of the New Testament, along with the Ignatius Study Bible, can be purchased within the app. It is available on the App Store, Google Play, Amazon Kindle, and at downloadjesus.com.
The words spoken by Our Lady of Guadalupe to Juan Diego nearly 500 years ago are almost too good to be true. Asking that a temple be built at the site of her apparition, she promised that here I will give all my love, my compassion, my help, and my protection to all those who love me, cry to me, seek me, and who have confidence in me. Here I will listen to their weepings and alleviate all their sufferings, necessities, and misfortunes. My name is Alan Napleton, and I live in Dallas, Texas. I have visited her shrine in Mexico City dozens of times, bringing my own petitions, and have found Our Lady to be true to her word. Over the years, I have brought hundreds of pilgrims to this holy place without incidents, and have now founded Viva Guadalupe, a nonprofit that provides safe and inexpensive pilgrimages to Our Lady Shrine. If you would like to take our Blessed Mother up on her promise and learn more about how you can visit this special place of grace, please visit vivaguadalupe.org for more information.
Judy Hare was a bankrupt, homeless, drug-addicted college dropout on the brink of divorce, but is now a seminary graduate and devoted wife and mother of four children. What happened? Find out in her autobiography, Shattered: How God Restored My Heart and Life. Her journey of faith has been called brutally honest, truly inspiring, profound, heartbreaking, and life-changing. Shattered is available now for only $15 on her website, judyhare.com, on amazon.com, or at your local Catholic bookstore. As Judy says, it is never too late to become the person you deserve and desire to be. So stop wishing for change and start doing something about it by reserving your copy of Shattered today.
Patchwork Heart Ministry is committed to sowing hope into broken hearts by helping young people encounter the love of Jesus Christ and His Catholic Church through prayer, storytelling, and media initiatives. We invite you to prayerfully consider supporting this mission financially. Mail your tax-deductible donation to Patchwork Heart Ministry at P.O. Box 563, Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, zip code 53147. Or visit patchworkheart.org to donate online. That's Patchwork Heart Ministry, P.O. Box 563, Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, 53147, or online at patchworkheart.org.
Your heart is always beating, but you never have to think about it.
Welcome back to Young Catholics Respond. Once again, Bill Snyder.
Welcome back to this episode of Young Catholics Respond, everybody. I'm Bill Snyder. Today I'm having a conversation with Ralph Modica, and we're talking about faith and living Christianity in the workplace. And in the first half of the program, we really talked about the ways to kind of forge ahead in your career, not be kind of be outspoken, and you know, not be a pushover, but also keep yourself moving forward and being respectful of others and telling the truth to people. But in the second half, I kind of want to focus on the Christian values, Ralph, and talk with you a little bit about the values of Christianity. And they're sometimes opposed to the secular world, I've heard, you know, on the local news every once in a while. So,
yes.
how do we keep our values and continue to evangelize and talk to people in the workplace that might be mistreating us or might be, putting our religion, our faith down?
Well, the whole thing in terms of how we conduct ourselves, I mean, if we were to go and sit there and get up on our soapbox and start sitting there preaching at them, all they're going to do is label us as a Jesus freak and discount us. If we keep doing things quietly, so to speak, like showing the love of God, how we treat people, how we treat others, how we conduct business, people are going to sit there and say, what is different about you? There's something different about you, and they'll feel more apt to open up to you and say, hey, I got a problem. Can you talk to me about it? It's like, you know, you seem to be a Christian. And in fact, I had one person in the company I was working with, he sat there and said, Ralph, you seem to be a Christian. I'm like, yeah, Catholic. And he was surprised that I was Catholic. And I'm like, why are you surprised? He says, well, you know so much about the Bible. I said, well, that shouldn't be surprising. I mean, every one of us has the Bible written on our hearts. This is why whenever we hear something out of Scripture, we know it's true because it's written in our hearts. But this one person was asking, it's like, well, you're Catholic, because you know a lot about the Bible. He says, one thing I've always wondered, why do you Catholics call your priest father? It was, you know, the whole mentality, you never call any man your father, all that
right.
Little nonsense. And one thing I found very, very good in responding to someone, and I love the way Jesus typically responded to someone, if they posed him a question, he posed them a question back. Never answered things directly. And I love that about Jesus. So I turned around, I asked this gentleman, I said, tell me, what do your kids call you? And he stammered a little bit. They call me Daddy. I said, oh, Abba. That's what Jesus called his father. Abba, it's a term of endearment. I said, so you're telling me that your kids call you God? He's like, no. So we got talking a little about that, like trying to clear the misconceptions. And then I asked him, I said, why is it we always focus on what is so different about us rather than focusing on our commonality and having God as a father? And we got into a very good discussion there, and it was very, very enjoyable. So, I mean, there are times that you will directly be involved in talking with people, and they'll feel open to talk to you because you're not cramming religion down their throat. You're open to where they're at and what their problems are. And people may sit there and say bad things about you, but when they have problems with their kids, their families, whatever, guess whose cubicle they're going to come to and say, hey, I got a problem. Can I talk to you? And we can be that comfort, that counsel, that reassurance for them. And, you know, tell them, hey, God's in charge. Or there's times I would be too in technical training. And I would sit there and tell people, oh, this is the way this works. And if you don't like it, I didn't make it that way. God did. Argue with him. So, like, there's ways that you can bring God into the situation. You know, say, God created things. He created the heavenly earth. He created all the laws of physics, all the laws of mathematics. All these things, you create everything. So
right.
You bring that aspect into the workplace when you're treating people. And again, I talked before about managers. Some of us are doing interviews for people to come on board. And we've all had, I'll call bad interviews, that the interviewer tries to find a question that he knows you can't possibly answer and he wants you to make you look stupid. And I would sit there, I would interview people and like, relax. I said, in very short order, I can find a question you can possibly answer. I said, it makes you feel dumb. It does me no good. I want to know how you think. Tell me about your experience. You know, tell me, here's the situation. Tell me how you'd go about solving that. I mean, it's being open to the gifts that God has created in that person rather than, you know, something to make me look good. It's like, tell me how you would handle it. Tell me how God has given you the talents and the ability and the knowledge to solve that problem. And that kind of worked out very well. I mean, it was kind of like through a lot of people that they didn't have very difficult technical interviews, but ones that actually addressed what they were capable of doing. So it's like bringing out people's gifts, what they're able to do, what knowledge and skill they bring to the environment. Things of that sort.
No, that's so beautiful. And, you know, as you're talking, I'm always taking notes and writing things down and keeping things in my phone. And because I'm an active listener and I pay attention when I'm three. But one of the things that just popped in my mind was as you're talking about all of that is that holiness is attractive. And Matthew Kelly wrote that in one of his books, Rediscovering Catholicism. And I always remember that every time something beautiful like you just said, treating people with respect. I love that whole interview mentality, especially if you're interviewing people for a position. The way you just explained that is exactly the way you know somebody should interview somebody else. I mean, it's how I should interview somebody. It's how you should interview somebody. And if you're out there listening and you're in a management position where you are hiring, that's exactly how you should do it. Almost every company out there should take a lesson from you, Ralph, on that, because it's such an important skill, and it's about bringing other people's gifts out, the gifts that God gave them out, and that is so awesome. And so holiness is attractive, and when you live that life, and you just be, people start coming to you, right? As you mentioned, right? People with troubles and problems. The holiness is attractive. You don't have to be out there preaching. And the times that maybe you've been making that mistake in the workplace. Oh, I have to, you know, wear the Jesus shirt. I have to, you know, wear my big crosses so everybody knows I'm a Christian. That's kind of contrary to what Jesus requests of us in the gospel, right? You know, kind of shut the inner room and, you know, shut the door, right?
It's kind of like, you know, a lot of times that people figure evangelization is going door to door. And there is definitely a need for that, definitely a place for that, definitely an audience that is open to that. Sometimes it's what I call Avon calling, and people will be open the door, they'll apply to you, and then close the door and say, ah, another Jesus freak. And like when Terry and I have done Good News Ministries, we sit there and said, our job is to have people live their lives so that others come and say, what's different about you? You're different. You behave differently. Instead of us knocking on their doors, we try to train people to come knock on our doors and saying, you have something I don't have. What is it? How can I get it?
And that's, and that's so beautiful. Let's spend a few minutes talking just a little bit about Good News Ministries, Ralph, as we're wrapping up this episode. I always like to make sure people out there get a chance to hear a little bit about the ministry and how they can get in touch with you and the different things you guys do, because you really are on the cutting edge of ministry these days. And I love working with you guys to accomplish your mission. So just talk to us a little bit about Good News Ministries.
Well, Good News Ministries originally started out back in 95, I guess. Terry and I went to an evangelization school, and it was something that was life-changing for us. It was, like, totally different than any other evangelization school we had been to. And we said, hey, this is something we want to get involved in, because it essentially had that attractiveness, drawing people to them rather than, you need to say this, or here's how you counter this scripture. We started our own Good News Ministries branch out here in Florida. There was a number of the whole related story with that that we don't have time to go into. And we first started out as a husband-wife evangelization team, giving local retreats. That gradually expanded into an internet ministry, which, hey, God kind of uses the skills he's given you. tell people God's given you a particular talent for a reason. Use that talent, figure out how he wants to use it. And Good News Ministries has now expanded into an international web-based ministry. We're serving, I lose track, it's like about 15,000 people a day.
Wow.
And again, it's bringing a message every day, and Terry writes reflections every day. I kind of work in the background, but it's something that there's information given every day on the readings of the day. And it's designed to tell people, here's how to live your faith in simple everyday terms. We tell people, hey, we don't talk in Latin. We don't talk a lot of heavy theology. We tell you in day-to-day language, here's how to live this portion of Scripture. And that's something we all need to do rather than cramming religion down people's throats. Apply it. Here's what this Scripture passage means in my life and how I apply it in day-to-day life. It brings people where they're at. It brings things down to the level and language of the people you're trying to reach.
Yeah, and what a great mission. And if you want to be a part of it, it's simply gnm.org, right, Ralph? That's how you get all the information.
That's our main site. There's many other sites. That is the main site. So we encourage people to go there. There is tons of stuff that people could be sitting there spending months and years just exploring all the things that are on the Good News site. So we encourage you to go check it out.
Yeah, absolutely. Ralph, I want to thank you so much for your time, and really appreciate you sharing your faith and some really practical wisdom. There's so much practical wisdom you've shared with people today that really can empower them to live their best life in the workplace. So I really want to thank you so much for sharing that wisdom.
Thank you, Bill, for having me on, and telling people, it's like, leave them with this one passage from Scripture. It comes from the book of Joshua. Very, very beginning. It says, be bold and courageous. Don't look to the left or to the right. Keep the law on your heart at all times. Be bold, steadfast, for wherever you go, the Lord your God is with you.
That's an awesome quote and a great way to leave the show. So thank you, Ralph. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, well, this has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond. Until next time, from all of us here at Patchwork Heart Ministry, I'm Bill Snyder. Keep beating to your Catholic heart.
You've been listening to Young Catholics Respond, a radio initiative of Patchwork Heart Ministry. To learn more about our ministry and program, visit us at patchworkheart.org. Or to get exclusive access and early ministry updates, become our patron on Patreon by searching for Patchwork Heart Ministry.